This week on Unboxed, I'm joined by the brilliant Woody and Kaini. They're an epic content creator duo whose focus is to create content that is both engaging and entertaining. They often create videos with eye-catching props and bring you along for sometimes emotional, shocking, and fast-moving stories. They've built a huge YouTube channel with over 11.5 million subscribers and have 29.7 million followers across their other platforms. They have an absolute passion for what they do and keep their friendship at the heart of everything that they create together. Let's get into it with Woody and Kaini. Woody and Kaini, thank you so much for coming on Unboxed.
Pleasure, mate.
Thanks for having us.
Not at all. Right, boys, 10.3 billion views last year and 5.3 billion from YouTube alone, right? Mm. Unbelievable numbers. Over 40 million followers?
Yep.
Have to pinch ourselves.
Yeah.
How does it feel to look at those numbers now? I've obviously known you guys for a minute, seen some of this journey.
Yeah.
What's it like to look at those numbers? How does it feel?
I mean, it is pretty crazy. Do you know what? When you're in it, it's a hard one really, isn't it, Clarence?
Yeah.
It's like when you're actually in it, like we're people that we're always looking forward, always looking at the next goal, looking at the next move and stuff. So it's one of those where like you get these big, big numbers and it's only when you are told by someone like, and someone comes along and says, do you realize how big that is? Or like my dad would say to me, it'd be like, you got 10.3 billion views. Like, just to give you some perspective, it's like best part of 8 billion people in the world. And you go, yeah, it's quite a lot, actually.
But well, you've been like that.
Yeah, and I think that, like, stepping out and looking back in and really stopping is quite important. We talk about that, don't we?
Yeah, but the thing is, if we still work like we have zero subscribers. Yeah. Like that's like our mentality is like to keep going and keep pushing. And we're so grateful for all the followers and we're so 100%. Grateful for, you know, the views. But we know that that can just go, especially in this day and age of how quickly social media is moving and how saturated it is. So we're constantly like working like we have like zero to keep that going. And, you know, we've got the 40 million, but we want the 80 million, the 100 million, you know, so. Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but it's hard to comprehend. We do have to kind of like pinch ourselves and go, do you know what, man, this is crazy. We started this journey 10 years ago, just as friends.
10 years?
Yeah, started 10 years, 2013, we started our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, I mean, we watched back our first ever video the other day.
Oh, horrendous.
And it was like, we was creating the worst content ever. Yeah.
But at the time, it seemed all right.
Yeah.
But you do, don't you? Yeah. But then you look back at it and you're like, I can't believe we did that.
Well, okay, so that's 10 years of finessing the craft, right?
Yeah.
And I think so many people don't understand. They look at the content that you guys make or people at the top of the game and think, wow, that's amazing. They must have always done it like that. Your first video, most people's first videos are terrible, but to get it out there is half the battle, right?
Yeah.
How important is it to constantly be shaping, crafting, and building that skill set in terms of making content that now looks like the best in the business?
Yeah, do you know what? I think that, I mean, something what I think that is one of our like diamonds in our game is like reinventing ourselves, recreating. Like we're constantly looking at what's out there, what's going viral, why is it going viral? How do you stay current? And I think that these are the things that has allowed us to continue doing and being around for like as long as we have. I mean, we saw something the other day where it said like the average like
lifespan
of an influencer was like 2 years. And it's like, wow, like what? But like, yeah, so then you look at yourselves and think, oh, we must be doing something right and doing it the way we do it.
And I think that's like you say, Woods, because we've constantly tried to evolve and reinvent ourselves each year. And yeah, I think that's where maybe some people get stuck with that 2 year thing you said there, Woods, is they're not just evolving, they're staying in that like niche. So I think it's important to, you know, reinvent yourselves and do something different. We're constantly trying to do that.
Yeah. Because content now won't necessarily be the same content tomorrow, next week, next year. So like constantly seeing that and having that at the forefront of your mind, you know, thinking that, right, whatever's coming next, we need to make sure that we're staying current and staying with it. Because if you don't, you get left behind and you fall away.
And how do you know when the moment is right to reinvent, to kind of change things up, to mix it? Like what are the sort of, I guess, the signs?
We did it with YouTube, didn't we, recently?
Yeah.
So we did the vlog, which we loved. You know, and that was the longer form content, and we grew to about 3 million subscribers on with the vlog.
That was solid as well. We was uploading. We didn't miss a vlog the whole year and we've done three a week. I think
three
it was what?
Yeah,
Monday,
we loved
Wednesday,
it
Sunday, yeah. Saturday or something. Yeah, oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
The only reason we stopped it was because it was COVID.
Yeah. Right.
And then we couldn't do the adventurous stuff
how much
that we
could
did.
You do, right? Yeah.
Right. So we stopped it and then we stopped uploading on YouTube. And then when we went back to posting on YouTube, that was when Shorts was kicking in. Mm. So we was like, you know, do we go back to the vlog or do we change our strategy here and go with Shorts? Mm. Because that's where YouTube was at the time. And
we started doing a bit of long form content.
Yeah, no, of course.
But that was to kind of feel it out
and
see where it's at. Okay, what's the algorithm saying? What's it favoring? Mm. Is it working? Are they still going to enjoy this type of content?
Yeah.
Weren't it?
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Then obviously, like Kleine said, Shorts.
Shorts kicked in and we started pumping on Shorts daily, every day. And then from 3 million to what we are now, 11 million. We grew, and that was just because we changed our strategy on YouTube.
I'm sure it's a big part of that growth.
Massively.
Yeah. Massively,
but the thing is, there's not a massive amount of crossover with the short form content in terms of people then going over to watch your longer form content. Yeah. That's probably another conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was a massive help. And that was just because we consciously was like, look, let's just go to Shorts. Mm. You know, just do bite-sized content, viral content. And we grew however many million that was, from 3 million to 11.
I mean,
my
how...
math is terrible.
Yeah, well, it's massive numbers either way. I mean, how important is it to be on short form now? Because for me, it's just every day goes by and you see vertical video and short form becoming increasingly dominant. And obviously you guys have always been ahead of the curve. You're making those moves. As soon as you notice that there's a change or there's an addition to the space. Yeah. How important is that for creators? Because I can't see it being anything other than like everything now these days.
What's your short form?
Well, short form and vertical being the future where eyeballs are at such scale, right? Obviously, there's variations, long form still has its place.
Yeah.
But in terms of where like real huge discoverability, opportunities to go viral are, it's on short form now, right?
Do you know what? It depends what your goals are though. Mm. Depends what like the destination is for you as a creator. Like what do you want to achieve? Where do you want to be? Like what is your end goal? And I think that then will dictate what you should be actually creating then. Because I don't think you should be governed by, okay, we're just going to be able to get views over here by doing short form and go that direction. 100%. Especially if like your dream is, for me and Kleine, is to be like mainstream TV hosts and what have you and show our personality. So you're not going to be able to show as much through long short form. That's where we have to like prioritize long form at times, even though we're not going to get the same sort of views.
It's the funnel, isn't it, right? Like the short form gets the awareness and then the long form gets sort of deeper engagement.
And personality 100%.
pieces. 100%.
And I think for us to excel and get to where we want to go, long form has to be a part of that strategy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In order to show our personality,
bit more depth,
show we're capable.
Things like podcasts as well, right? And that kind of the more personality led content.
100%. Yeah,
yeah.
But short form is crazy right now. Mm. It is.
It's amazing.
But what's great about it is like it suits like not just the bigger creators. Is that what we're seeing? Is like it doesn't really matter how many followers you have right now in because of the discovery and the For You page and stuff. Even if you've got the 10,000. Follow a page, you can still get millions of views.
Especially on like TikTok.
You think when we first started out, and probably when we first met you, Jordan, it wasn't really suited to that. And now the platforms are like...
very helping, like Facebook and Instagram. Like that dominance being over, I always say it's like the most excited I've ever been about social is right now. Weirdly. So much opportunity to genuinely be discovered. And when we started speaking, Facebook kind of had a little bit of that where you could kind of go viral and do big, but nowhere near to the scale that it is now.
No,
for sure. I mean, the power of the share button on Facebook, isn't it?
Everything
that we do is playing, right? How do we get someone to press share?
Mm.
And we've got various things that we do in order to do that, you know?
Let's talk a bit about that without giving away all of the gold and the secrets, which I know there are many. But what is a sort of a guide, if you will, to somewhat of a formula, to engineering success? Because you've been doing it so much, you've produced probably thousands of videos.
Mm.
So many hours of content. What is the goal to getting results online?
Go on.
Yeah, no, but I mean, one of the things that we live by, we call it the viral code of conduct, or our viral code of conduct, and it encompasses like five key elements. And the five key elements are humor, inspiration, surprise, adventure and emotion, right? So if you kind of break them down, if a video, has humor in it, and we're talking about short form content here. If a video has humor in it, people want to click that share button.
Mm.
Yeah. If it's inspiring, you know, you want to share it with your friends, or you might have watched that inspiring video and gone, do you know what? My friend needs to see that to inspire him. Yeah. So they're going to share that with their friends. Surprise. If a video is going one way and all of a sudden it just does, you know, that U-turn. You're not expecting it. And that viewer's like, wow, like they're, you know, mm-hmm. they're surprised. They want to click that share button. Adventure, if you're taking that person on a huge adventure, which people are doing a lot with TikTok right now, people want to click that share button. And emotion is the last one. You know, we've looked at a lot of our videos, that the ones that have emotion in and it touches on that, like them heartstrings, people want to share it. So we kind of like, if your video has like hammers home one of them key elements, great, you may have a viral on your hands. But if you can hammer in and crowbar in as many of them key elements as possible, you could have a super viral on your hands.
Yeah.
So that's just from us doing research on our own content.
Yeah.
We was looking at our content and going, why is it going viral? Why did that piece go viral? Well, because it had humor, it was inspiring.
And you go through that checklist? And
we do it in all our videos.
Do you know, it happens at the weirdest of times as well. So I'll give you an example of a video. So Hamley Bailey's. Bailey, my son. So we gave him, and he's a 6 year old. So we gave him £500 and took him down to Hamley's.
As an experiment
to see how to get in the mind of a 6 year old and see how they would spend that money sort of thing. So sent him into one of the biggest toy stores in Europe with that money. And he was literally followed with Brandon, our old cameraman. Now that video took the biggest turn possibly, but that it possibly could, because Bailey then ended up putting all of the toys back as he was on this journey around doing what he was doing, came outside and went with Brandon, took Brandon. Brandon was like, what are you doing, Bailey? What are you doing? And he took him down the road, and Bailey had seen walking in, he had seen a homeless person. So he went over and he asked Brandon for some of the money, and he said, I want to give it away instead. And he gave it to a homeless person. Now, that video,
Brandon's just like, this is gold.
He was like,
was this completely unexpected? Like, Brandon's just literally following him, no warning.
And me and Woody are outside the store watching, like, him come out. What the hell's he doing?
My point in telling you that story so you understand what that's about is going back to our viral code of conduct, is that in that video, if you took each and every one of those elements and you was to say, right, so humor, okay, so from a scale of 0 to 100%, how much humor was in that video? Say maybe 10% as he was going around the shop having a bit of fun and what have you, about 10% there. Then you go to like inspiration. Now it was a very, very inspirational piece. We're talking high 90s from 0 to 100. Then you go into surprise. It was going in this direction. No one could have foreseen.
It's 100% for me.
I mean, literally.
Like, you're not expecting that at all. You're just expecting a kid.
And from a 6 year old, it adds an element, a much greater element, because that's, you would never expect.
You're not expecting
100%. Then you've taken your viewer as well when you go to the next element of adventure. You're taking them on this journey, and they've seen, they're going, they're thinking they're getting this, and all of a sudden they've gone into this area.
It was
over
a big
here,
journey, wasn't it? Like the adventure of him running around the toy store. You know, it's fun. Yeah. You know, you're watching this. It's a 6 year old
kid.
Right?
Everything's going to go in this aisle. It's
a journey.
And then the journey completely changes to go in a direction that he did, to go and do something which is the most amazing thing. And I can't tell you like how that made me feel as a dad, you know. And then the last point of element of emotion, like you're talking high 90s into 100. It's a bloody emotional piece. I mean, at the end of the piece, I'm bawling my eyes out with my son, and like, it's unbelievable. Like, Kleine's standing here, what the hell has just happened? Have we even got a video?
Let's go to Hamley's.
And then when we uploaded it, the reaction it got was unbelievable.
But what we done was we re-optimized that for every platform.
Yeah.
So it was YouTube. We've done a shorter version, I think, on TikTok.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Okay, so 1.1 million likes, reaction, 72.9 million views and 420,000 shares.
Yeah.
That's mad.
And that's what we're talking about with that shareability.
How long ago was that?
That was
422,000 shares.
We posted that May 2020 on Facebook, but I think it was filmed for YouTube before that, and we just re-optimized it at a later date for
422,000 people shared that.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to ask you guys, right, you've been doing this again, go back to 10 years, which is such a long time, and you somehow remained best mates throughout this whole period of time. What's it like working so closely? And I'm sure it's not always easy, because it never is. But what's it like working with a friend, with a best mate for 10 years and keeping that professional and personal relationship
as it is? Yeah. Absolute nightmare.
Got each other in headlocks.
Get out.
Go on, Clarence, here you go.
I think that, I think we'd be sitting here lying to you if we said there's not been arguments, there's not been disagreements, and, you know, it's all been rosy, because It hasn't been, but you know, we're best mates. And I think that any time something, you know, we didn't agree with or we had an argument, the main thing that it came down to was communication for us, you know? So we've kind of identified that now. And it's like, if something's not feeling right, just to communicate it with that person, whether it's me or Woody or anyone in our team, you know, especially with the creative process, you know, everyone's got different ideas. You know, I might have an idea that Woody thinks is not a great idea, vice versa. But ultimately it comes down to respect and respecting each other's ideas and opinions. And that's what we've really trying to like, we're consciously making that effort all the time. It's like, you know, communicate, be respectful. And we say that with our team now. There's a team of, we've got a team of 10 in-house, larger team of like 20. But it's like, we don't want just yes men. You know, I think Jay-Z once said, I see it on a documentary, it's like, closed mouths don't get fed. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
100%.
Speak up and say it. We're not all going to agree. But ultimately respect that person's, you know, opinion. So it's been an amazing journey. Like, we look back at it now, don't we? And we're like, man, this is
it's crazy.
10 years of, you know, ups, downs, and we're here now and we want to do another 10 years.
Yeah, 100%. And like you're saying, you know, like, look, so many people out there got siblings, you know, and like me and Kleiner, we're best mates, but we're like brothers, you know, and like, I bring Daryl into that as well, our manager. And we always say like, Daryl's the and in Woody and Kleiner. So like, everyone sees us on the face of everything.
He's been there for 10 years as well.
He's been there from day one for the whole journey and a massive, massive cog in it. And I said cog, by the way.
Just in case we didn't get that.
Okay.
Don't bleep that out.
I know. That's why I had to reiterate it, just to make sure everyone got that. But yeah, like, and he, I bring him into that because he brings to the table just as much as we do, creative processes and so on. And ultimately, like, when someone, say for argument's sake, I do something, I say something and it doesn't come across correct, I want these guys to talk to me and tell me about it and so I can be a better person, you know? And Kleiner be the first one to be like, Woods, can I have a word sort of thing? And pull me to one side and be like, look, the way you dealt with that or said that, I don't think that came across. I know what you meant, but I don't know if other people will see it in the same way.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, yeah, no, fair play, because he wants me to be better. I can't get angry with that because he wants me to be better at what I do. And if anyone has got an issue or a problem when people are trying to tell him, well, try getting on when people tell you nothing, because that's when people don't really care. That's like the people that just leave you to it and let you get on with it. That's because they don't care about you, you know?
But also there's a huge amount of humility from both sides. All three of you, right, will have to have that in order to put your egos at the door and be open to criticism, because a lot of people wouldn't be, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Plus, we do some messed up stuff, right? So we've kind of got an agreement that like, whatever happens, happens, and it's for content.
That is, you know? There's two things that we're not allowed to do.
Yes. Cutting hair.
You can't cut each other's hair.
Can't cut each other's hair. And the other thing is, for his benefit, I can't cut his beard.
And were they
fuming if he waxed my beard?
Were they brought in because somebody crossed that line, or are these...
In fairness, it was always there from the beginning because we were trying to be this brand as well and trying to look good to try and get to this end goal of being on TV. So it's like, if we just mash each other's hair up, it's not going to look good for the brand. And then Kleiner Brooke grew a beard, so the second one came in.
I'm attached to it.
Add into the list.
It wasn't there originally.
Other than that, it's just anything goes. But we would never like argue about anything, like, as in once we're filming. Like, we've never like argued about like pranking each other or anything like that. It's, you know, it's more so.
Has it ever been something that's gone too far where you've been like, nah?
Yeah.
Great content, but no.
Yeah.
Something will happen to me or Kleiner, and then if I'm in a heap on the floor with a paint cannon that's gone off in my face, I'll just be there, like, having to take it, but then thinking,
this is going to be so funny.
This is going to be gold content. Yeah. It'll be like, and that's what makes me be okay with it and get over it and be all right with it, you know? But yeah, we've definitely done things that we shouldn't have done, where we should have been maybe a little bit more calculated.
And now, you know, there's a bit more health and safety involved.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
What's an example of somewhere you were like, nah, looking back, would not do that
This
again.
Would not happen now, because now we've got a production manager in place who does our health and safety and everything like that. And he'd be
risk
like,
assessment.
That yeah, is
risk assessment.
Not happening
he,
in that way.
He, yeah. We maybe could do it, but just not on the way, not the way we've done it, because the way we've done it was just stupid.
Like, it was so explain just, the video.
Okay, let me explain the video for the viewers. So we had, we hired a farm and we had a digger, you know, like a digger.
Yeah.
And we attached rope to it and had one of them like ski, you know, like a water skiing kind of like handles attached to the rope. And we laid down tarpaulin. So it was like a slip and slide, huge, like it was giant.
With a digger.
With a digger. So the idea was like, we thought, oh, originally was like, you know, hold on to this thing and this digger would spin us around the slip and slide. But we was like, this isn't like good enough. So what we need to do is we need to put people around the outside. And as you're spinning around, they have to jump over you. Do you get it?
Yeah.
So we're
going
round,
like hurdles,
holding
on.
And I'll tell you now, we were going fast. Man, you couldn't even see we were going that quick.
It's hard to hold on for long enough.
Yeah.
Like you probably...
You get like one, half.
Oh, no, we
get two, three.
Yeah, yeah.
But after that, like, you feel like your joints are going to pop out.
Yeah.
Like you're going around at pace.
Mate, this was such a blur for me because I'm like, basically, I was holding on and I'm holding on for dear life and I'm going round. And like, I can't see anything. And next thing you know, I just feel boom.
One of the guys didn't jump at the right time.
It sounds
and he
hard
like
to jump
came
when you're going
just
fast,
off
right?
the floor.
Yeah.
And then Kleiny clatters into him.
Yeah.
Comes flying off and what have you. He lands in a heap on the floor.
This
other guy. And then Kleiny's face was mashed up. He had like, his lip was out here. He had blood coming in down his mouth. His nose
didn't show
was
a lot
busted.
Of it on the content.
No. Yeah. But he was like... I was like, you're all right. You're alive. Because we got this safe word called, we say oranges. So if we say oranges,
that's oranges.
That means we're in bad place. Yeah. So if you've been pranked, you've been hurt, and you call oranges, it's like everyone regroup, stop, because someone needs help. And I was like, you oranges? He went, yeah, but don't stop filming. He's like, get the content. Yeah. I'm already mashed up. Yeah. Just make sure you get the content.
Man, adventure, suspense.
That's it.
Surprise, story.
Surprise.
Humor.
Humor.
Add it all.
Emotion.
Yeah, you've got to take that heat. Man.
Yeah. Oh, that done quite well on views
I'm sure
as well.
Banged.
Yeah.
As did your face.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, I'm just pleased. All jokes aside, that could have been really fatal.
Yeah.
Like, so we look at that now and we're like, if we're going to do things, risk assessments in place, all that type of stuff. Mike wouldn't allow us to do anything like that anymore.
Is Mike in charge now to keep things in line?
He's to the book as well.
Good. Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
Okay, so last year, 2022, you guys released the WACPAD, right?
Yeah.
And you, were speaking about that actually from when we were working together, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is amazing.
In
well
terms
done.
Of the direction of where we're
in terms
to
of, this is a concept for it. And then now you've done, which is amazing. Tell us why you built it. What is it? And why has it been, it looks like it's been transformational for you guys, but what's been the story behind it?
First and foremost, it probably came along because we just had enough of like blowing up our houses and causing so much mess and destruction. Mm. I think that like when we smashed the bifold doors, I think that was kind of the end to it. Is that stuff was obviously a part of it, but we wanted that separation from kind of going and creating content like in that environment, because I don't like to call it work because it's so fun and stuff like that. And we do get up to do that in order to make a living, so it is seen as work in many ways. But we wanted that separation of being creators and doing that stuff and our home life. And knowing that, like, when we go home, we're going home to a relaxed environment. Kleiny's not going to jump out from behind the door and put something over my head and stuff like that, you know? So it's nice to have that sort of separation.
I mean, even the fact you have Daryl, Brandon at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You had an infrastructure there.
Yes.
Most people didn't have that.
Yes.
No, for sure.
For sure.
But we know, like, you can't do it yourself all the time, you know? And if you want to go to that next level, which is why we got the WACPAD, you know, which is we got a house and, you know, we converted it into like edit suites, you know, studio floors, boardrooms, wardrobes.
You've
got to come down to it, man.
Yeah, please.
Come down to see the WACPAD. But we knew that was the next stage for us.
Yeah.
We knew that we needed to get a hub that people come into. And it's crazy because we've been in there nearly a year now, but we've already outgrown it. So the next step for us is now the studio space. We want to get a hangar or, you know, buy a farm that has like a hangar and
studio space, isn't it?
Build studios. So that's kind of like the next stage for us because, you know, we want to keep going, want to keep evolving, want to keep reinventing ourselves. Yeah. We didn't just get the WACPAD and go, right, this is us now. we're done.
But again, on your point of reinvention, you have to keep moving forward.
And what is next? What is the future? What does like brand Woody and Kleine represent? What's it going to be in 10 years' time, you know? So by going down a route of that, like we start adding in different elements like WAC Productions. Like and when we create WAC Studios, space that people can come in, can rent, like a podcast studio. We can have all these sets and a bigger operation that we can help other creators who haven't got the infrastructure, but we can be their answer to help them with that. So it's reinvesting, constantly thinking about, right, okay, we're doing okay. We're making like good enough money to make a living, but where can we now reinvest that money to future-proof us? Because this ain't going to last forever. So what can we be planning for the future to make sure that we stabilize ourselves, obviously way into the future, you know?
Exactly. Right, let's get on to the future because I'm really excited to get your take on a few kind of bigger things. So the first thing, more to you both, is where do you want to take your brand, your channels next? You mentioned before, like, what's WAC in 10 years' time? Maybe not the 10 years. But what is the next step for you guys?
I think the next step with the channels is, you know, to double. You know, if we've done 10.3 billion, we want to do 20 billion. Same with, the, you know, with the followers. We want to keep growing that. We're going to change our strategy again. In terms of content, we are, I know we've spoken a lot about short form content, but we are going to try and, you know, we are going to go into some longer form formats as well. And then like what he said, we've got exciting stuff like WAC Productions and the studio space and whatnot. But it would be really nice. And we are going to do it one day is to do that full circle of, you know, we started out trying to get into TV, didn't do it, couldn't get into it. You know, it was turned down left, right and center by all of the agencies.
It's just a goal that we really want to complete, right?
Yeah, and that, and just to, you know, use, so you know, have social media and then 10 years on to loop back around to be television hosts, that would be a dream, you know? So we're going to fulfill that one day. We're just going to keep knocking on the door and not give up, you know?
Because it's not something which we're doing because we want to get into that from like a financial point of view.
No.
Because
you made 10 times more money on DV doesn't pay. People wouldn't realize.
That's what I mean.
DV does not pay very much.
But we're aware of that. We,
like, it's not even about
It's not about that for us.
It's
we had a goal.
100%.
And you can always fall back on your numbers. You can always fall back on the success that you guys have been building for 10 years. No one can ever doubt that. Whereas in the world of TV, it's subjective. It's about who you know a lot of the time. Yes. It's other people calling those shots, but you can't look at the numbers and say anything other than you guys have absolutely smashed it
for a decade. Appreciate that. Thank you,
mate.
I really appreciate it.
No, not at all.
But with that in mind, we never rest on that. We look at that and we're
smashed
like,
smashed it, but you imagine you've got nothing.
Yeah.
You got to. And it's great to have that behind you, and especially going into the next year and being able to use that as a stat when you talk about the 10.3 billion views. But we need to double that. Or we need to go like our target at the moment is 15 billion views now.
Yeah.
That's the next
it's
target.
It's got to be.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It. And what is the one piece, this is going to be hard because I know you guys have a lot of gems. What is the one piece of advice that you give to a young creator starting out today?
I think number one is just to believe in yourself. If you've got a vision, don't listen to anyone else. You know, like we had so many people tell us when we were first starting out 10 years ago, like, what are you doing? Like, what are these silly videos on the internet? You know, just two idiots pranking each other.
That went on for a long time.
A long time, you know. And if we listened to all them people, we wouldn't be sitting here today, you know. And so number one is just as long as you believe in yourself and your vision, it will happen no matter what, as long as you work hard. And I think ultimately just enjoy your craft, be obsessed with it. Do you know what I mean? Be all in. If you're going to go for it and you're going to get into social media and you're going to be a creator, you've got to be all in. Yeah. It's got to be 7 days a week. It's got to be, you've got to be a little bit gone up here. You've got to be obsessed. You know, you have to be. And one day you will, enjoy the fruits of that labor. So I think that would be it in a nutshell for me.
Yeah, you've left nothing out there for me. I'd say I'm on exactly the same page. I think that is everything that Kleine just said. And if I was to say anything, I'd just be circling back around again.
Yeah. And finally, who is a creator that each of you are loving at the minute?
So I've been watching a lot of the Nelk Boys recently. I find them quite funny. They do toe the line quite a lot, but
the podcast is great.
Yeah, I've been watching. I just watched the one with John Daly. I've been getting into golf lately as well.
Oh, very good.
So I like the one with John Daly. Yeah. That was funny.
Golf's having its moment, you know. Like Formula One has had its whole kind of youth resurgence. Golf is coming.
Yeah, I love it. I've just got into it. I'm like 9 weeks
golf
in.
Golf and darts.
Yeah, that's it. So, probably Nelk Boys for me.
Nelk Boys.
Yeah.
Yours
is quite a funny one.
Not funny.
No, not funny, but it's in like, you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, in that way, you probably won't expect it. It's actually the pool guy. Have you ever seen the pool guy?
No.
On TikTok?
Which, show me.
Okay, so basically, we'll show you.
He cleans pools.
Okay.
This is really different. He's massive.
Something for everyone,
he's massive on TikTok. No, exactly. Yeah. Do you know what? I stumbled across him, right?
Yeah.
And it's very like ASMR-y.
Yeah.
So he literally just goes around cleaning swimming pools, hot tubs. But I say they look like they can't come back from the dead.
And
watching the process, it just hooked me.
Yeah.
And
I was
14 million.
No, 14 million followers on TikTok. Wow. He's no joke. And he must be doing something right for obviously that to be working.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. And that's the reason, obviously, I've said it is because I stumbled across it. And then I'm not even joking. An hour and a half later, I was still watching videos or scrolling.
TikTok does that too.
I was just
in.
And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is awesome. Mm. I'm watching this guy cleaning pools, but it's working. It's doing something.
Yeah.
And it must have an amazing effect because, like you say,
he must be making it. I mean, he's probably 14. The number one pool cleaner in the world.
He's the pool guy.
He's the pool guy. Yeah. Trademark, copyright.
Love him.
He had a vision and nobody didn't listen to it. Didn't listen to any haters.
There you go.
That is it. Well, look, guys, thank you so much for coming on. I could talk to you all day, obviously. Yeah.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Keep smashing it because you're incredible. Hugely inspirational to me and to so many people around the world. And thank you again.
Thank you so much.
You're a legend. Thanks, really Jordan. Appreciate you having us, mate.
Top stuff.
Unboxed with Jordan Schwarzenberger is a Listen original in partnership with Arcade Media. The exec producer is Amber Bateman, the senior producer is Lucy Hunt, and the senior digital producer is Alice Tilley. Unboxed is recorded at PRL Studios in West London with the support of Michael Kalasinski.